This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day, and the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Joining us from 247 Sports, Mark Brennan. My friend, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me. And I wanted to take a second to congratulate you and Jack Ham for 25 years calling Penn State football on the radio. Great run, and it's been fun to listen to you all these years.
Mark, that means a lot. Thank you. Very, very kind of you to say so. Nobody's had more fun than we have so far.
There you go. Well, I don't think it's ending anytime soon, so I know you're going to have a nice long run and enjoy it for years to come.
Thank you, Mark. Saturday was one of those, whether you're broadcasting the game or covering the game or watching it, that was a grinder to watch on both sides, Penn State and Bowling Green. What were your thoughts in the first half watching it play out for Penn State, especially on defense?
Yeah, remember what Joe Paterno used to say, that you make your most improvement between the first and second game of the season?
Yeah.
That was like the reverse of that. I mean, the first half, especially on defense, that looked like a season opener to me. I mean, guys just weren't in position. I think I know. He said after the game that guys were trying to do too much to make big plays, and you definitely saw that. And I don't think the tackling was as crisp. Now, we've come to learn in the last 10 years that during the preseason, very little full contact, right, in preseason practice. And rightfully so. I think it's smart because you don't want your guys getting banged up. And so many times in an opening game, we see missed tackles. We see guys not wrapping up completely. We didn't see that at West Virginia. It was weird.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then, you know, you get to the Bowling Green game, and all of a sudden you're seeing these things that kind of pop up. I think to their credit, they tightened it up at halftime and in the second half, and the defense played much better. But it almost looked like an opening game to me, Steve. That's how I was looking at this. It's like, yeah, they already played one game, but this kind of looks like the opener.
Yeah, Bazelak was 13 of his first 15. After that, he ended up going 12 of his next 24. And in the second half, Bowling Green had 89 yards total.
Right.
So they obviously made some adjustments. When you talk to the players, did they discuss what adjustment was made?
You know, here's one thing to keep in mind, that Bazelak obviously spent 1 year at Indiana, right?
Yes.
So he probably had a pretty good feel for what he was going to see defensively. And, you know, one thing I think we know about Tom Allen is he's a guy who immerses himself in film and is very good at making adjustments. And I don't know that they did anything crazy. I just think they played more disciplined. I think everybody calmed down, took a deep breath, and just it was a more disciplined football team in the second half. And I don't know if you sensed it while watching it. The one thing that I liked out of it, you know, I don't think you could say it was a great effort in the first half by the defense, but the one thing I liked is you saw no element of panic at any point in that game, you know, even when they were down 10 points. And I think that's the sort of thing that ultimately could bode well for them. This team got into a spot where it would have been very easy to push the panic button, and nobody did. The body language on the sideline was just, you know, and I think it started with Franklin. I mean, even after some bad plays, he's, you know, congratulating or slapping guys on the back coming off of the sideline. I just got a sense of confidence from this team that I think, again, you don't want to play that sort of game, but when you find yourself in it, how are you going to react? And you know, in the Big Ten season, there are going to be some tight games. There are going to be situations where you may be down a touchdown or 10 points. And I think they could draw back on this and realize, hey, it's not time to panic. The other thing I would say, Steve, is that, listen, we're in a different era with coaches making a ton of money, assistant coaches making a ton of money, players making money through NIL. And, you know, I'm not saying that if I were a fan that I would be booing, but we heard some boos, and that's just the way it is. Yeah. But when that defense needed the fans in the second half, they stepped up and were a huge part of that game. So, you know, you talk about adjustments. I just think they played more discipline. And then the fact that the fans stayed in it and made an impact on that game, I thought that was big for Penn State.
Yeah, I did too, because they started causing timeouts.
Right.
They caused Baselik had to go up to each offensive lineman to talk to them as to what the change happened to be. So the fans looked around and said, okay, quote, you need us now, we're here. And I thought that was impressive. I mean, because let's face it, you can't afford to stumble.
No, and it would have been very easy for the fans. I guess my point is, it would have been easy for the fans to say, oh man, I can't believe this team's playing like this, you know? And
right.
There was a sense of that at halftime when the team was leaving the field at the half. But then when they picked it up in the second half, the fans were there, and I was really impressed. I thought they made an impact. I don't think, I know. I mean, they made an impact on that game, and I think the fans ought to be proud of themselves because, you know, it's an early kick. It's not a marquee opponent. First game of the season. The fact that they were in it, I think, spoke well to what Penn State fandom is about, for lack of a better way of putting it.
In the first game at West Virginia, the hot hand receiving-wise was Trey Wallace with 5 catches for 117.
Yeah.
This time, the hot hand was Tyler Warren with 8 catches for a Penn State tight end record of 146 yards receiving in the game. And Omari Evans has made catches in both games. What have you seen in the past game, and does it say anything that the hot hand can switch off because they have a number of guys that can be the hot hand?
You know, I was down on the field, Steve, at the end of the West Virginia game, and everybody on the sideline was happy, and one person looked kind of down in the dumps, and it was Katron Allen, and he was sitting on the bench, and, you know, his numbers weren't great in the game. But guys are coming over and slapping him on the back and saying, hey, you know, everything's going to be okay. And I think that's something that these players are going to have to come to realize, that in Andy Kotelnicki's offense, it's going to be different people stepping up in different games. And just because Katron Allen didn't have a big game, or, I mean, and I heard you talking to James Franklin about this on the radio show last week. Just because Julian Fleming didn't post a bunch of stats didn't mean he wasn't effective. The defense had to account for Katron Allen. The defense had to account for Julian Fleming, and that made other people successful. And that can't be an easy thing for these athletes who have been the stars their entire career. But if you look at when these guys get to the NFL, you're not going to be the key guy every single game. And that's what I think is the beauty of what Andy Kotelnicki's doing, is that you're going to see one game, it's going to be Trey Wallace. You're going to see one game, it's going to be Tyler Warren. And then, you know, here comes Singleton and here come Katron, both rushing for 100 yards. Both guys have done good things in the passing game so far. So I guess my point is, this offense, the thing I really like about it and what we've seen so far is that it is making defenses make very difficult decisions on who they want to try to guard and you know, not eliminate, but focus on. And when you do that, well, then somebody else is going to pop up. The one thing I would like to see, Steve, you know, they've set a really nice foundation. One of the things that Total Nicky talked about all offseason was getting the ball in the hands of your best playmakers. Well, yeah. Clearly, you know, you think about their best playmakers coming into to the season offensively, non-quarterbacks, would be Tyler Warren, Catron, and Singleton, right? Yeah. And then you add Trey Wallace to that. They've gotten the ball into the hands of all of those players. I think the next step for this offense is to be spreading the wealth. We saw it a little bit with Evans, but I think you're going to see even more weapons emerge. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Cam Wallace. They need to get a couple more of those receivers involved. Luke Reynolds, look for him now that it looks like the other tight end. Who am I missing? Rapalier. Yeah, I'm sorry. Look for them to get other guys involved now as this goes along to kind of expand this foundation that he started.
And as for the running backs, yeah, it's the 38th time ever that two have run for 100 or better at Penn State. It's the second time Allen and Singleton have done it. But what about those guys as pass receivers? I know that on the one scramble, it looked like Allen had it, then the replay said yeah. No. But Singleton has gone from a freshman body catcher to now hands out like a wide receiver. I mean, that's confidence right there. I mean, for a quarterback, you have to love to see that because he makes plays in the passing game for them.
Yeah, well, and listen, you know I'm an Eagles fan, and when you see what Saquon Barkley did in that first game, the catch he made, I mean, I think the coaching staff, I mean, you know that Jawan Sider is saying, look it, this is how you become a complete back. This is what's going to make you the player that you are. And I think it speaks volumes for Singleton. Catron, I think, was a little bit better receiver coming in.
He was.
The job that Singleton has done, I think, has just been unbelievable. And give him credit. Listen, last year was not easy for him. And, you know, I don't think we need to point fingers or whatever, but it's obviously clear that after the coordinator change, I don't think Nick Singleton changed, right? I think they've given him better opportunities. I think they've put him in a better position to succeed. And to his credit, he didn't get super frustrated last year. And now that he's been put in position to make plays, he's done it, and he's kept improving. Somebody asked me yesterday, Steve, did he lose weight? No, he didn't lose weight. He's unbelievable. He's like 228 pounds. Mm. He is just a freak athlete, you know. He's a big, fast, strong guy, and the fact that he's adding this pass catching to his repertoire is just fantastic.
Do people need to? And this is a very, you know, people don't give anybody time to do anything. But should people give Abdul Carter a little bit of time to make this a change and adjustment? Because he obviously had a better game than the opener, but still, does he need a little time there?
You know, I loved Ed DeChellis because he had a way of saying things in kind of a homespun way. And as I was watching that West Virginia game, I couldn't help but think about Ed DeChellis when he used to say, it looks like he's trying to stuff 10 pounds of potatoes into a 5-pound bag, right? It looked like he was just trying to do too much. And I think when James was talking about the first half, about guys are trying to make the big play rather than being gap accountable, rather than doing what they need to do and let the plays kind of come to them. And that's perfectly understandable. As I look at this defense and as I look at when you have a guy like Tom Allen and he has a weapon like Abdul Carter, I have zero concern that Abdul Carter is going to be a good game, is not going to be a game wrecker. That guy is going to be just fine. So, yeah, I agree with you that people should give him a little time to breathe, but I would not worry about him one iota. And I am very anxious, very, very, very anxious to see what Tom Allen devises for this kid moving forward. We saw a little bit of it on Saturday, you know, when they had him standing up, rushing up the middle, moving him all around the field, kind of like what the Cowboys do with Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to see more and more and more of that. As you said, let him take a deep breath. Let him get used to what the basics of what he's doing. But as the season goes along, he's going to be just fine.
And under the category of a step forward, what do you think it meant for Penn State that Sanders Sahadic in a game where points you needed all of them, that he had a couple field goals?
Listen, I felt terrible for that kid because, you know, the way things worked out last year, he misses the two field goals against West Virginia, and then you have Falcons come in and he just does a good job. And, I mean, that wasn't necessarily a knock on Sahadak. So now you open with the same team. You miss a 46-47-yarder. I said after the game, I really hope they go back to him. Because, Steve, you're at practice even more than I am. But when you see that kid, when you hear that kid, let's put it that way. When they're in Haluba Hall kicking and he kicks the ball, it is resonate the right word? It's like, you know, you could hear the ball coming off of his foot and it like echoes in Haluba Hall.
It reverberates.
Reverberates. That's the word. Thanks for helping me out with that. But it's like, you could almost, it's almost like a, I don't want to say an earthquake, but you could kind of feel it. It's like, so they don't spend a scholarship on a kicker unless he's super talented. And you don't come out of the preseason twice as the starting kicker unless you're very talented. So he just, for him to be able to for them to have the confidence to put him back in there, and to go in, and as you said, I think it was super important that this wasn't some 40-point blowout. The points he scored mattered. I mean, he had two field goals and how many extra points? And they won by seven, right?
Right.
So there you have it right there. So I think that was really good for him, and I think it bodes well. He's got to keep it up, though. He has all the physical talent in the world. I think he just has to have his head on straight and be confident. And to his credit, he was after a tough opener.
And he gets the ball up in the air fast. I mean, high and fast.
Yeah.
And that's all part of the talent that he has. But I thought it was important that he made those two. He ended up scoring 10 points in the game himself. So
there you go.
Mark, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, anytime. And again, congrats to you and Jack.
Thank you.
I mean, I was mentioning yesterday, it's always fun to hang out with you guys on the road. And Jack is one of the – I said to somebody, you would never in a million years, by the way he carries himself, think he's a Hall of Fame player. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, he was a Hall of Fame player, but he's a normal guy and just a nice person. And I know you guys have fun interacting with fans all the time, so it's been fun to watch and look forward to many more years of it.
I've told people, I said, you wouldn't even know that he attended the Super Bowl, let alone helped win four of them. So
it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. It's like, oh my God!
Yeah.
I mean,
he's down to earth.
I think it speaks to him that, you know, you and I have both been around enough big time athletes, not necessarily from Penn State, who carry themselves as if everybody ought to know that they're big-time athletes. Jack is just a regular person, which I mean that in the most positive way.
Yeah, he would appreciate that description, by the way. Hey, Mark, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Steve, have a good week.
You too. Mark Brennan, 247 Sports, back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner. And now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. It's 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department. Whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. I thought the Giants were impressive yesterday. All right. So, yikey, crikey. Eagles' offense looked great Friday night. Their defense did not. That's still a work in progress. But they've got enough offense to compensate for it. Barkley makes such a huge difference in what they do. You know, Smith played a great game. Brown was terrific. I mean, Goddard? I mean, what's Goddard? The fourth option? Come on. Hey, most teams, he'd be the second option. Their offense is beautiful to watch. I will say this, though. On the tush-push, they didn't look so hot on it. That was a little different to see. That was a little different.
It's like that Kelsey guy was good or something.
Yeah, Kelsey was pretty good. But their offense played beautiful football. I thought their defense was no better than okay. There was really nothing about their defense where I sat back and went, well, all right, that looks a lot. No, really nothing. They did do a good job in the red zone and forced Green Bay to a couple of field goals. Made a big difference. And tonight you've got the Eagles and the Packers. Excuse me, tonight you've got the 49ers and the Jets. 49ers and Jets tonight. That's an ABC ESPN game. Aaron Rodgers gets to play. Okay. For the Niners, Yetur Gross-Matos is out. So Yetur will not play tonight. Looks like he's expected back next week. Christian McCaffrey is questionable. Although the suit has been listed questionable every day since being employed. What?
That's one of my favorite all-time lines. I'm not sure who said it. He's questionable, but aren't we all?
Yes. Hassan Reddick is not going to play. He hasn't signed yet.
It's an $800,000 game check he's missing.
He must think he can make up for it.
I forget who it was. It was an ex-player wondering what he was doing because, well, you know this, but the reason they're holding in is the fines for holding out are just obscene. And I think somebody said if he held out till he can, he's only going to make $500,000 this year. I think somebody's getting some bad advice somewhere.
You and I would like to make $500,000.
Well, I'm not arguing that point, but I also can't rush the quarterback like he can.
I don't know. I've kind of seen you over at the bitty ball practice. Pretty good off the edge. I mean,
well, you know, it's like Kramer in the karate class, though.
The Jets need to win to stay out of last place because Buffalo, New England, and Miami all won. The Jets.
I'm interested to see what the Jets do with Mr. Rodgers tonight. I don't know if you saw some of the numbers from Kirk Cousins yesterday, but he did not line up in, under center once, and they did not run play action once because they obviously didn't want him to move with his Achilles. Now, I think Aaron's probably a month or two ahead of him because I think Kirk did his in like November.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
So he might be a little more mobile, but I'm interested to see what he, you know, what he looks like moving around because, you know, I think people forget this is a 40-year-old dude coming back from a torn Achilles.
I'm trying to remember 40. All right, so the AFC East, everybody won, now the Jets play. In the AFC North, the Steelers are the only team that won. In the AFC South, the Houston Texans are the only team that won, and they won by two. Indianapolis, so somebody had to win there. Let's see. NFC North, the Packers were the only team to lose. And right now, the Rams and Cardinals have lost. The Seahawks won. We're waiting to see what the 49ers do tonight at home. It's that time of the year. Yeah. Long way to go, but still that time of the year.
I also wonder how the 49ers, you know, I wonder if this is one of those games where they struggle a little bit early because they're one of those teams that didn't play a lot of guys in the preseason, and I don't think Trent Jones has practiced with them until this week either.
Trent Williams?
Trent Williams, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think he has, no.
Yeah. Brock Purdy will probably just come out and complete 75% of his passes, throw two touchdowns, and they'll win 20-10 or something.
There's one thing I want to see about Purdy, because you know somebody gets a reputation of being a game manager. Okay? Quarterbacks don't like to be referred to as game managers. And to be honest with you, very few of them are game managers. I mean, they're all game managers in one form or another. But they don't like to be referred to that. So is he going to come out and try and gunsling this thing tonight, or is he going to play his game because this is how he plays, which is what I think he should do?
I think he's comfortable with who he is. I think he knows who he is, and I think if he plays like that, he's going to get paid just like he was not a game manager.
He plays like he has the first 2 years, he will get money.
Yeah,
lots of it. By the way, the Packers do need somebody else. Evidently, according to a report I read this morning, somebody in the Packers organization contacted Ryan Tannehill. I think that's a better move than Malik Willis. And Sean Clifford's on the 53. He's the third quarterback.
Exactly what the Packers thought going into the season. One game in, they'd be using the Titans' quarterback room from last year.
Exactly. How about that?
It's only like a month, I think, though, right? It was an MCL.
Yeah, it's an MCL sprain. It's still a month. And I thought he played well, not great, but played well against Philadelphia. And, the injury at the end was kind of a tough deal. So, yeah. But, they got 14 million viewers on Peacock, which is slightly better than Thursday Night Football. Slightly, by about a couple million. It's nowhere near the playoff number. And it's nowhere near the number they would have had the game been on a Sunday in Philadelphia. Been on a Sunday in Philadelphia, especially if they put it in the late block, the 425 block, that game would have drawn 25, 28 million fans. Again, the NFL has cut off half its audience because they want to tell everybody they're an international brand. And I could care less if they're an international brand. Could care less at all. I don't care how many T-shirts they sell overseas.
I think their biggest issue is figuring out these field conditions when they play in these strange places, too.
Yeah, the second half was okay. The first half, there's everybody was slipping all over the place. Second half, I don't recall anybody really slipping. So, but crazy. Does the league care about you? Jay, to the league, you are a means to an end. Anytime you treat a group of people like they are a means to an end and not care about you and cultivating you, there's a problem. They are nothing. The league, the National Football League, is nothing without you. Whether you're watching on TV or whether you're at the game, the league is nothing without you. They see decreased ratings. They see decreased attendance. You're going to have some knucklehead coming up with all list of excuses, none of which will be we neglected these people. I mean, will anybody have the guts in that in Park Avenue if there's a reduction in ratings? Because remember, why have the ratings gone up in the last couple of years? Why have they gone up? Because now they're including bars in the ratings. Establishments, restaurants now get included in the ratings. That's why you've seen the bump in the ratings. Now, these people have been watching the entire time when they go out to bars, restaurants, and so forth, but they never counted. Now you're seeing, now they're being allowed to be counted, and it's made a difference in what the ratings look like. Oh, really? We'll take a break. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you'll be busting through the snow this winter with these incredible all-wheel drive savings. Lease a third-row seat all-wheel drive Santa Fe for only $450 a month for 36 months. Choose a 2024 all-wheel drive Sonata for only $29,674. Or a 2025 all-wheel drive Kona for just $28,968. Looking for a compact truck? Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 Santa Cruzes in stock with savings up to $1,774. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles.
We're not done.
Lease an 80 MPG Hyundai Tucson plug-in hybrid for only $465 a month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors has 53 Tucsons available. Hard to believe it, but winter is just around the corner, and now is the time to save big money on your next new all-wheel drive Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
36-month leases are 10,000 miles a year with $4,000 down. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Okay, great to have you with us. Show today. Thanks to Mark Brennan. We're going to have Neil Coulong tomorrow. I assume we have Matt tomorrow. That
is my assumption as well.
Yeah. Saw the graphic on MLB Network last time about the countdown to Triple Crown. Imagine what happens to him if Bobby Witt Jr. wins the MVP.
Probably cancels his Tuesday's appearances because his head explodes.
Boy, that's where you wish you had Facebook Live.
They play this tonight, don't they? Isn't it Royals Yankees? This 3-game
yeah.
set.
I thought. Yeah, so. Witt will eat their lunch. That'll be it. That ought to sum it up. You know, it's funny with Ohtani and Judge, sometimes other guys get overlooked. And I'm not saying he'll win. But you look at the season this kid's had. It's phenomenal. He is really a heck of a player. I mean, he's already been in a part of the 30-30 club and the whole deal. He's only 24 years old. And you look at the season he's having. Yikes. Talk about taking off. I mean, he just signed in February an 11-year, $289 million contract. He's... He's a heck of a... I mean, there was a period of time over 30 games he was hitting 500. 30-game span, was hitting 500. I mean, it's pretty darn good.
And, geez, the Royals have been so bad for at least the last 5 years that he ought to be MVP contention just for where they're at right now.
Right. Well, right now he's played 144 games. He leads the league in runs scored. He leads the league in hits. He already has 41 doubles this year. He has 11 triples this season. Okay? Now, he led the league with 11 triples last year. Okay? He's stolen 28 bases. He's hit 30 home runs. 98 driven in. He's hitting .336, which leads the league. So he leads the league in batting average, hits, runs scored, and games played. So there you go. He's actually dropped down just a bit. Was he 4 for his last 19 at the plate with a couple of doubles, one RBI? But here's Kansas City, a group that you would be sitting there saying, well, I'm sure they're an also-ran, and then you look at the standings. Oh, they're right in the thick of the wild card race. They could get there.
They were tied 10 days ago with the Guardians, but they hit a little slump the last 10 days.
But. Right, but right now they'd be the number two wild card team.
Yeah,
Baltimore would be the number one wild card team easily. In Kansas City is in the number two spot, 2.5 ahead of Minnesota. Minnesota's in the third spot, and the Royals have won 4 in a row now. The Yankees are also 4-6 in their last 10. Anybody want to win? Who's hot? The Mets were. The Mets have been 9-1 in their last, their last 10 games. Phillies are 7-3. That's really good. Ding, 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 ding. Dodgers are 7-3. There's nobody really hot down the stretch except for the Mets and the Phillies.
I saw they just flexed the Mets and the Phillies to Sunday night, I think, the 21st.
Good. That's fine. Fine with that. That's the way it should be done. This whole lunacy with what they do with college football, and it's lunacy. Like, we have to wait until Monday, September 9th, to find out when the September 21st game is with Kent State. You couldn't have decided that in May? That's what I said in the postgame show, and I meant it. On a degree of difficulty, the Manhattan Project's at 10. College football scheduling on network and time is less than one. I mean, really. The network people make it seem like it is some incredible science project that we should all sit there and go, oh, boy, this is difficult. Dude, for goodness sakes, pick a game. Move on. I mean, if you want to flex games in November, fine. But all the other games up until November 1st should all be scheduled. Why is it college basketball has a schedule? Dates, times, there's only one flex game. Dates, times, locations. Now, the Big Ten will have it scheduled out this week, from what I understand. Okay? But why can they do it? Why can the NBA do it? The NHL, the NFL, Major League Baseball. Yeah, they flex a game here and there. College football can't flex a game? Are you nuts? Come up with a schedule and then leave a couple of flexing opportunities in there. Come on. But the fact that people don't know what time the Illinois game is, they don't know what time the UCLA game is, they don't know what time the USC game is. In fact, there is no game left in the Penn State schedule as of today, except for Kent State that was announced today. So as of yesterday, the final 10 regular season games for Penn State had no start time. Really? Now you have Kent State, so there's 9. You can't. This has nothing to do with Penn State. It has nothing to do, really. I mean, it has something to do with the Big Ten because they allow this to happen. But my goodness, just pick. Let's go. Doesn't take a genius to pick games. Come on.
What, you don't think they might have flexed Penn State, Kent State, the big noon Saturday?
Well, they have Alabama, Wisconsin. That was announced ahead of time. Now, why is that big noon? Because it's the only time Fox can get Alabama. Because Alabama's playing at a Big Ten team. Fox can carry it. So they made sure they got that game. It's the only time Fox can have Alabama on. But I don't understand why every other sport can have dates, times, and locations set before the season, and college football can't. It's ridiculous. And I could care, for me personally, look, I just show up for work when they tell me. I'm talking about the fans. The fans should know how to plan their lives. Just because some network TV executive can't make up their mind about something, you're not that good at your job if you have to guess at this.